A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Kuf Yud Aleph, Ksubas 111, pagination is 221. We're going to be starting on the facing page, one line up, with the words Rab Zeira. The concept of galus, exile, for the Jewish people is a very sophisticated one, in which Hashem sent us away from the honeymoon palace, from the Beis HaMikdash, from the land of Israel, sent us into exile until such time that we would be regathered for a rebonding of the relationship. The Nevi'im talk extensively about the fact that there will be a redemption. In fact, we're told, Im Yismama Chakei, even if it delays, you should always wait for it. And that's how we have incorporated in our davening, in our Birchas HaMazon, Uvenei Yerushalayim, we're waiting for the redemption, for Yerushalayim Ircha Barachamim Toshuv, waiting for the return. On the other hand, the Navi in Yirmiyah, Chavtes, chapter 29, describes how when the Jewish people were sent into the exile after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, Hashem had to give them a specific directive that they should settle in the galus, because it seems that otherwise they would have been so makeshift, waiting return, that they would never settle in and take care of themselves. The pasuk there says, "Benu vatim v'shevu, build homes, settle in, nitu ganos, plant gardens, v'ichlu es piryon, and eat the fruit." Kichunashim v'holidu banim ubanos, you should get married. V'dirshu es shalom ha'ir, asher iglesi eschem shama, and be involved with the welfare of the city in which you are exiled to. Ki b'shloma yihye lachem shalom, because through its peace shall be peace to you. In other words, you're going to be here for a while, and that's the perspective to seek out the peace of the area that you are in. So on the one hand, we're settling in. On the other hand, we're awaiting imminent redemption. This balance and all that is involved requires a bit of an art, as our Gemara explains. Rab Zeira v'kamishtamet minei d'Rab Yehuda. Rab Zeira was avoiding Rab Yehuda, d'boi l'mesek l'Eretz Yisrael, because Rab Zeira wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael from Babylonia. The Amar Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda said, "Kol ha'olam ibava le'eretz Yisrael over ba'asei." Anybody who travels Aliyah from Bavel, where he was exiled, to Eretz Yisrael, is in violation of a pasuk. That's what Rav Yehuda held. Obviously, we don't paskin like that, but that was what Rav Yehuda held. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Bavela yuva'u v'shama yihyu ad yom pakti osam ne'um Hashem." You shall be in Babylonia until I call you back. Tosfos observes that really this pasuk was said regarding the first exile, after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and they are living after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, and in between, there certainly was an allowance to return to the land of Israel in the time of Ezra. Tosfos says, somehow they understood this pasuk to apply to the second exile as well. For Rab Zeira and Rab Zeira, which is the perspective that we take, there is no such restriction on an individual going and making aliyah. Hahu b'klisharis ksiv. That was referring to the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. They will be sent to Babylonia until the time of recall, when Hashem calls us back, and it has nothing to do with an individual Jew coming to Eretz Yisrael. And that's how we began. Rab Zeira was avoiding Rab Yehuda. He didn't want a contentious debate about his being allowed or not allowed to go to the land of Israel. v'Rav Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda had a different pasuk in which he marshaled objection from to going on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. K'siv kara acharino, eshbati eschem benos Yerushalayim b'tzvoso ba'ayilos hasadeh. Pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says that there was an oath. And we're going to see there was more than one oath. There was three oaths. There was more than three oaths. There was actually six that were under discussion over here. Different commitments regarding the exile. V'Rav Zera hu sheyalu Yisrael b'choma. That restriction that you see in Shir HaShirim is that the Jewish people should not go up to Eretz Yisrael biyad chazaka with force. That there's a proper time for the redemption and things are going to develop in such a way that it'll be normal to go to Eretz Yisrael, but they shouldn't gather forces and force their way to Eretz Yisrael like a crusade, like a Jewish crusade trying to take over. Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda says, that's what that oath was about, but there's another oath also, Ishbati Acharina Ksiv, for Rav Zera, and Rav Zera, not to be deterred, sure there's another oath, Hahu Mimboi Leilichad Rav Yosi B'Rav Chanina Da'omar Gimel Shavuas Halalu Lama. There are actually three oaths that we have to keep track of. Achas, number one, we mentioned, Shelo Yalu Yisrael Bechoma, Jewish people should not force their way like a crusade into Eretz Yisrael. Va'achas, Shehishpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael, Shelo Yimredu Be'umos HaOlam. Another one, that they should not rebel against the nations of the world, that the Jewish people should recognize that they're in Galus. Va'achas, and a third, Shehishpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Ovdei Kochavim, that Hashem made the non-Jews promise shelo yishtabdu bohen b'Yisrael yosem midai, that they would not be dealing with the Jewish people like a slavery, like an extreme improper relationship. Certainly the Jews are in galus, and you had positive relationships where the Jews serviced the local monarch, finance minister, defense minister, different positions, even of prominence, which they did, always recognizing that the non-Jewish monarch was the king and that we are in Galus. But if the non-Jew would be more extreme than that and enslave the Jew, act improperly to the Jew, that would be a violation of this oath. Rabbi Wein recounts a very cute story in Muncie where a Hasidish child was putting in the recycling containers for 5 cents each. And apparently this young boy felt that he put in more than the number of nickels that came out. And he felt he was still owed a certain amount, and he went to the courtesy counter in what was then Pathmark, I believe. And at the courtesy counter, they told him that whatever the machine does, that's what happens, and we can't give you more. And Rabbi Wein recounts how the Hasidish child walked away from the courtesy counter with a shrug and a slight smile, and he said, "No, das is galus. No, so we're in exile. I'm not going to fight the point. I'm out 15 cents for the three containers that I'm not getting paid for. So, no, that's galus." And that's good humor on a valid point. We're not looking for a fight. On the other hand, if you have an extreme example where the non-Jew takes advantage, that's a whole different thing. Yoser midai, they're not allowed to deal with us in a way that's extreme. Regarding the practicality of today's establishment of Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael and the development of the State of Israel, so there are really like 3 points that we should keep in mind. Number one, it started from very natural aliyah of individuals. It was not lo ya'alu b'choma, a violation of coming in as a crusade. The Jewish people certainly did not come in as a crusade. Also, the influx of heavy immigration to Eretz Israel was the result of the non-Jews' violation of their oath. Their oath was, Shalo yishtabdu b'yisrael yosamidai, not to be extreme in the way they dealt with us, and the pogroms and the anti-Semitism which kept growing in the early 1900s certainly was a violation of that, and certainly the Holocaust was a violation of Yosar Midai. You can't get more Yosar Midai than that. And certainly the Jewish people had to respond to the non-Jews' violation in order to protect themselves. And finally, the Jewish people even then were not Ya'alu Bechoma forcing their way. It was with consent from the international body of the time, the United Nations, to affirm the State of Israel and to recognize it as an international challenge to give the Jews a place of safety, of refuge, because the rest of the world simply couldn't provide that. And it was with the consent that the establishment was made, and therefore certainly not a violation of any of these oaths. And on the contrary, at this point, Jewish people are simply defending what exists, and certainly is not a violation of any of these topics. Again, Galus, historically, has been an art to understand that you're in Galus, nevertheless, to await the final redemption when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Mashiach, will bring the world to a new era of world peace and universal knowledge of Hashem. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.